Right, turn your Bibles to Psalm 119. Today we'll be finishing up the second stanza, which is verses 9 through 16. We'll be looking specifically at verses 13 through 16 as we consider the second half of the stanza that's been entitled by the Hebrew letter Beth. That's the second letter in the Hebrew alphabet. And last week we told you what that letter or that word means. It means Beth. It deals with, or means house. And we talked about it being like Bethlehem, the house of bread, or Bethel, the house of God. And so we compared that to dealing with the heart, because it starts out, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way by taking heed thereto, according to thy word." It's the word of God that is compared to water in the word of God. And that's how we're going to keep ourselves clean. And we even talked about how the importance of hiding the word of God in your heart that you might not sin against God, and the importance of just internalizing it. So that was last week and everything that we covered. And this week, it almost seems like, even though it's the same stanza, telling my wife this, it's like it's almost a completely different message, even though it's in the same stanza, but obviously it all connects. And so when we look at verse 13, we're really picking it up from what we saw at the end of last week in verse 12. Verse 12 is a prayer request. If you look back at it, Psalm 119, verse 12, it says, "Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes." That's a prayer request. He's asking God to teach him his word. And this week, we're going to look at the question, that's what I titled this message, "Are you dedicated?" And you're going to understand why I picked that as a title and really a question that we need to consider today in looking at these last four verses. But the first thing to consider is like, okay, if you're asking God to teach you His Word, what are you going to do with it? You know, one, are you going to hide it in your heart? Are you going to use it to apply it to your life so that you don't sin against God? But secondly, as we start in verse 13, as we're going to see, it says, "With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth." And so he asks God to teach him the commandments or his statutes or the word of God in verse 12. And what does he turn around and what does he do with that in verse 13? He's declaring it. I mean, you think about it. You know, we want the Lord to teach us His Word, and every week we come to learn from the Word of God. What are we doing with that? Are we applying it to our lives, and are we going to be ready to declare it, or ready to share it? So that's what we're going to be looking at today. And really, verses 13 and 14, really, that point is what I have done. Because you're going to see where David says, this is the things that I've already done. I've declared your Word. I rejoice in the way of thy testimonies. But verses 15 and 16, we're going to look at what I will do. Again, this is what he's going to be dedicated to do, as far as meditating in the Word of God, as well as delighting in the Word of God. So there is a lot to consider today as we look at these last four verses. And so let's go to the Lord in prayer, ask Him to bless our time, open up our understanding to be able to see these things, to be able to apply it to our lives. Let's pray. Father in heaven, again, I thank you and praise you for the day. I thank you for your word, the things that you have laid on my heart, and being able to declare the things that you have shown me in this last week. Now, Lord, it's an important message, each and every one is, but for some reason I feel that within myself that there's people that need to hear this today. I need to hear it. Lord, and I don't know obviously what all is going on in people's lives here, or those who are listening online, or those who will listen to it. Lord, it's good for me to even understand the things that are going on in my heart and my life. There's a lot that is there. And so, Lord, we need your word. We need your word. We need to understand your word. We need it in our spirit, in our soul, and Lord, to be able to affect our actions, that our actions and the things that we do would be pleasing to you, that would bring you glory. Lord, help us to not focus on what has happened before we got here, not to think about what's going to happen after. Lord, help us to focus on you. I'm reminded of Moses when you tell Moses to come up in a mount in the book of Exodus, and you say, "And be there." Lord, help us to be here with you today, that our mind, our spirit, everything that we are here, not just physically, but spiritually, ready to hear your word. Ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. You look at verse 13. "With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth." Again, this is past tense. This is something that he has already done. You know, I'm sure that David is continuing to do that. Obviously, and that's what the Lord has to do. But this is something that he's already done. Again, just as we talked about in the introduction, You know, we're going to ask God to teach us His Word, which is something that is good, something that we'll even see next week, Lord willing, that we will open up and talk about. And when we come to the Word of God, we should be praying that the Lord will help us to see the things that need to be, that we need to understand and so forth. But again, once the Lord teaches us something, what are we going to do with it? Yeah, we need to apply it like Ezra. We've seen that before, how Ezra prepared his heart to speak the law of the Lord and to do it, and then to teach in Israel statutes and judgments. That's Ezra chapter 7 and verse 10. We looked at that, you know, several times throughout the course of me preaching and being here. But it's like, what are we going to do with it? Are we going to declare? And notice what it says in verse 13, because it's not like I'm going to declare some of the things. I'm not going to declare the things that I think won't offend somebody. He says this. He says, with my lips have I declared all the judgments of my mouth. And it's interesting that he even picks the word judgment, all right? Because when we think about judgment, that is like, hey, this is what's right and this is what's wrong. This is what the Word of God says. You know, if your action is against the Word of God, that's wrong. It needs to be corrected, all right? And so judgment in the Word of God is how we know what is right and wrong. And so he says, I declare all the judgments of thy mouth. With my lips, you know, I've declared all the judgments. I haven't left anything out. And we live in a day and age where people get offended over the silliest things. We live in a day and age where it's almost like you can't say anything to anybody. You know, everybody has, you know, one of my pet peeves, their own truth. And all that. Now there's truth and there's error. There's truth and there's lie. All right? And it's like, but David says, hey, I declared all of the judgments. I don't leave anything out. And that is important. Because truly, if we actually love somebody, we're going to declare them the truth of the Word of God. We're not going to hold anything back. It doesn't mean that we beat people up over the head with the Bible and look down on them or anything like that. But we have got to declare the judgments, the truth of the Word of God to people, no matter what it is. I want you to hold a finger there. I want you to go over to the book of Acts, and I want you to see what Paul says when he's dealing with the leaders at Ephesus before he's getting ready to go to Jerusalem. I want you to look at Acts chapter 20. This is almost like his farewell to them, knowing that there's going to be some bad things that are going to happen in Jerusalem, but he knows that he needs to go. And you know, he's kind of given some farewell instructions and things to the leaders of Ephesus. So Acts chapter 20, we're going to pick it up first in verses 18 to 20, then we're going to drop down a little bit further in this chapter. But right now, Acts 20 and verse 18. He says this, "And when they were come to him, he said unto them, you know, from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons." And I like that. When we talk about all seasons, we're not just talking about, I think, winter and spring and summer and fall, that kind of thing. But we talk about the seasons of your life. The good times, the bad times, the young times, the old times, whatever it is. And he says, you know how I've been. You know my testimony and the things that I've done at all seasons. You pick it up in verse 19. It says, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews. So obviously there was persecution and suffering that was going on as he's ministering the truth of the Word of God. That's reality. Those things are going to happen being in this world. You're going to go through persecutions. But he goes on and it says in verse 20, it says, "And how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house." No matter the season, no matter the suffering and the persecutions, you know how I taught you publicly from house to house, and I held back nothing. I told you everything. You jump down later in verse 26 and 27 of the same chapter. Notice what he says. Paul says this, "Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God." He doesn't leave anything out. And that is so important for us today, no matter what the world philosophy, no matter what, you know, happens to us as we come through here, we're going to go through persecution for standing on the truth. But when we have an open door and opportunity to share the truth, we need to share the truth. So all of it, not to hold anything back. Somebody comes to us and they want help, they want counsel. That's exactly what we need to do, is to declare everything that it says and not hold something back because we think they're going to be, you know, they're going to be upset or they're going to, you know, laugh at you or whatever the case is. No, you need to declare all of it. I want to give you another reference before we go back to Psalm 119, because we have a lot to cover today. But I want you to go over to the book of 1 John. So basically closer to the end of your Bible, a few books before you get to Revelation, which is the last book in your Bible. I want you to look at 1 John, and we're going to look at the first three verses. 1 John in chapter 1, looking at the first three verses. And I love these verses and what John is laying out. By the way, John is the one that had the closest relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ out of all the apostles. He was the one talking about whom Jesus loved. Not that he didn't love all of his apostles, but there's that close loving relationship that he had with John. He's the only one that didn't die a martyr's death. He died of old age, died of a natural causes sort of thing. And so you look at John, you notice what he says here, starting in verse 1. So 1 John chapter 1, verse 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. Now notice that word of life, that is a capital W referring to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's not an accident that is being laid out here. Matter of fact, John is the only one that uses that term for the word of life, or Jesus Christ being the word, capital W, out of all the Gospels. In verse 2 it goes on, it says, "For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifest to us." Now verse 3. "That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ." And the reason why I love this passage so much is because, again, it refers to Jesus Christ as the Word of God. And John had the privilege and opportunity, as the other disciples, to actually literally be with Jesus Christ, the Word of life, to be able to behold Him and to see Him and to handle Him. What an awesome opportunity that would have been. And we don't have that today, but we do have something that they didn't even have back then. We have a completed Word of God that we hold in our hand, that we can deal with and look upon at any time of the day, any moment of the day, any moment of the night. And that's what we should have in a relationship, not a religion, but a relationship with God the Father through the Lord Jesus Christ. We can see, we can hold, and we can handle it. And guess what we need to do? The things that we see, the things that we hear, in a time that we have with the Word of life, we need to do what? Declare it. Don't keep it to yourself. Declare it. You go back to Psalm 119. Again, so much to see, so much to understand. Again, from verse 13 it says, "With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth." That's from mouth to mouth. Alright? From what he heard from God, the judgments, all of them, he declared with his lips. This is something that he's done. What about us? Are we dedicated to declare the truth of the Word of God that the Lord has taught us? He goes on in verse 14 and says, "I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches." Man, I love this verse. He says, "I've rejoiced." Again, past tense. This is something that he's already done. All right? And again, I'm sure he will continue to do that, but this is something that he's already done. And it's almost one of those things, like, is this something that we can say even today, right now? "I've declared all the judgments from the mouth of the Lord, from His Word, and I've rejoiced in the way of His testimonies." Have we done that? We're supposed to have a life of rejoicing no matter what the circumstances are. We should rejoice. Philippians 4 and verse 4, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice." All right? Even in 1 Thessalonians 5:16, "Rejoice evermore." Our lives as Christians, we have plenty to rejoice over because of nothing more the relationship that we have with the Lord Jesus Christ. That we know that we are heaven bound. And we have a God that cares for us and that He is with us all the time. And so when you look back at this verse, I really want you to see this. It says, "I rejoice in the way of thy testimonies." Now, we've talked about the testimonies before. We've seen that in the first stanza. Matter of fact, if you look in verse 2 of Psalm 119, it says, "Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with a whole heart." We talked about how the testimonies are the things that God has done. All right? You can look through the completed Word of God and we can see the things that God has done throughout, from Genesis all the way to Revelation. Things that are still yet future. Those are the testimonies. We talk about how we shouldn't be ashamed of the testimony of the Lord or of Paul the Apostle, as we saw in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 2. But notice what it says in verse 14. It's not that he rejoiced in the testimony. It says, I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies. It's not just rejoicing what God has done. It's how he did it. How often do we take time out to think about the way God has done things in our life? Not just in talking about how he got the nation of Israel out of Egypt and part of the Red Sea, and they went through and going into the Promised Land 40 years later and parting of the Jordan River. I mean, those are incredible things that God has done. But even specifically, the things that he has done in your life, the way that he did it. Now, I can spend the rest of my time sharing with you out of my life some things that I rejoice in the way that God has done it in my life. You know, a big part of me standing here preaching right here, right now, is because of a relationship that I have with Kirk Courtney, our assistant pastor. And you really know how that really kind of came about? From a previous church I was a part of, that I got booted out because they didn't want to stand on doctrine, and there were a lot of lies that were being said about me and what I quote-unquote believe, and Kirk called me up. There weren't many people at all that called me. There's not many people at all that said, hey, is this true what this pastor is saying about you? That wasn't hardly anybody. Matter of fact, there was only two people, and Kirk being one of them. He called me. He's like, hey, we're hearing down here that you believe this, that, and the other. My first reaction was laughing. I was like, I don't believe that. Now, it wasn't necessarily fun going through that kind of thing and being lied about, but to get to the place of where I'm preaching and doing this right here now, the way that God did it is awesome and I can rejoice in it. The current job that I have, the way that that all came about was not something that I would think delight in, but now that I see what God did and through it all, it's like, man, praise God, that is awesome that I have a job that provides for my family, and I would have never thought that I would have this opportunity through the way that that started. What about you? What are the things that God has done in your life? Have you rejoiced in the way of the testimonies, how he's got you to the place that you're at now? That's what David says. Man, this is what he has done. He's declared all the judgments from the mouth of the Lord, and has rejoiced in the way of his testimonies. I want you to look back, or actually over to Proverbs chapter 3. Actually, before I do that, let me read the verse one more time, verse 14. I've rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies, notice this, as much as in all riches. Now, that's saying something. As much as in all riches? Not just some riches. All riches. Imagine if you this morning had all riches. I mean, you had them all. You can care less about what your bank statement reads. You have trillions upon trillions of dollars. Right? You don't have to worry about, you know, guys getting your wives or something like that some jewelry, you know, like you have to go to the jewelry store. You don't have to go to Kregel's. Is that still a store? I don't even know. It just came to mind. I think that's where I got my wife's wedding ring. But anyhow, it's like, you don't have to worry about that because you have all riches. You have all the jewelry. You ever think about that? What says that? You're rejoicing in the way of his testimonies as much as in all riches. You have no care in the world. Alright? I mean, your car breaks down, no big deal, you got another one. You need to go somewhere and cross country, no problem, you got plenty of planes to choose from. I know it sounds crazy, but that's what it's saying here. You're rejoicing as much as in all riches. You have no care in the world whatsoever. Whatever you need, it is taken care of. You have it. But what that is saying there, if that is the case, he's saying, it's like, I have rejoiced in the way that testimonies as much as in all riches. Imagine if somebody came to you today and like, you own it all. You imagine how you're going to be rejoicing? I own it all? I mean, yeah, you don't have a care in the world. You don't have a care in the world. You own it all. if that were the case, and you would imagine, well, come on,
our human nature, man, woohoo! I don't worry about anything. I don't care what the weather does. I don't care if a tornado takes away my house, I'm going to go get another one. I made it.
If that were the case, would you be rejoicing in a way that God has done and worked in your life, equivalent as if you had all riches? Because truly, having a relationship with the Lord and His Word, and having the Lord work in your life, is so much more than if you had all riches. Because it doesn't matter how much junk or stuff that you obtain in this life, as we learned last year, at the end of last year, as we finished out in 1 Timothy chapter 6, that it is certain that we came into this world with nothing, and we will leave with nothing. It doesn't matter how much materialistic goods that you would ever amass in this lifetime, when you die, it is not going with you. So it's only the things that are eternal that's going to matter before God. If you turn over to Proverbs chapter 3 real quick, Proverbs chapter 3, and we're going to look down verses 13 through 15. So Proverbs chapter 3, starting in verse 13, talking about how precious it is to have wisdom. Of course, we know that comes from the Word of God. In Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 13, it says, "Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than a merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies. And all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her." Wisdom, understanding, is more precious than silver, gold, rubies, which would be a precious stone, or anything that you would be able to desire. Now, folks, a lot of times we see this. That's not hard to understand. That's not hard to understand at all. But I don't think we actually think about that. I don't think we actually put it into reality, and that this is truly what God is saying, and that it is absolutely true. It doesn't matter how much silver, gold, precious stones, and all that you can be desired. It doesn't matter the amount that you have. It will not ever compare to God's wisdom, His understanding. I walk in relationship with Him. And that's one of those things that, oh yeah, sure, preacher, I understand, I believe it. Do you really? Because how dedicated are we to having the things and the creature comforts of this world as opposed to being dedicated to growing in our walk in relationship with the Lord? Getting His wisdom, His understanding. To being able to declare His Word. To being able to rejoice in the way of His testimonies. Because that's more precious than anything that this world has to offer. I want you to, interesting enough, go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We're going from Proverbs chapter 3 to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. But we're going to pick it up in verse 11. But we will also end in verse 15. So from Proverbs chapter 3, 13, 15, we're going to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, 11 through 15. I think it's an interesting coincidence in what we see here. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, picking it up in verse 11. It says this, "For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, and then there's wood, hay, stubble. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. And if a man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire." So you don't lose your salvation, you have eternal security, but if all your work as a Christian is nothing but wood, hay, and stubble, things of the flesh, things of this earth, this world, then you'll have nothing at the judgment seat of Christ where it matters. But we want to have a work that is gold, silver, precious stones. Interesting enough, the same three things that are mentioned in Proverbs chapter 3. It just mentions that silver, gold, and rubies, ruby being a precious stone. I don't think that is an accident in the Word of God whatsoever. And so again, it's about the Word of God, a relationship with God. That is going to be more precious than anything that this world has to offer. And we should be able to rejoice in the way of His testimonies as much as if we had all riches. Actually sit back and think about what the Lord has brought you through and how He did it. Should be great rejoice, even through the tough times of life. Let's go back to Psalm 119. We've seen what David has done, verses 13 and 14. But let's look at what he will do, verses 15 and 16. Again, it says this, I'll read from verse 13 and continue the context. It says, with my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. I rejoice in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. Verse 15, I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. So the first thing he says that he is going to do is, I will meditate in thy precepts. I'm going to meditate. I'm going to think about your word. Not just read it, not even study it. I'm going to meditate in it. I'm going to think upon it. And again, one of the things that we're focused this year in being having a fit faith is being fit mentally or spiritually. And part of that is, what are we thinking about? What are we dwelling on? A lot of times we are could be down in the dumps for legitimate reasons, but we stay there because all we do is we think about the negative as opposed to thinking about the biblical, thinking about the positive. I want you to go over to Philippians real quick. You guys are familiar with this, but I want you to see it again. Matter of fact, I actually used this in this week's podcast and talking about number 8 and dealing with the number of new beginnings and what it represents. And so in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8, there's 8 things that God gives us that we need to think about. 8 being the number of new beginnings and having a renewed mind. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8 says this, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Now that's present tense. Think on them. 8 different things that are laid out. And it's easy for us that we can be dwelling on the negative. Dwelling on that which is attacking or getting at us. It can be easy for that to happen. What we need to do is change our thinking. We need to stop thinking about the negative, but think about the biblical. Alright? All of these 8 things, we can obviously easily deal with it being the Word of God. And taking the time to dwell on those things, to think on these things. Change your thinking, because what? That deals with our heart, that deals with our soul, it deals with our attitude. And it's going to lead into our actions. It is so important. I think it's more than anything that I'm probably at least seeing for this month. It's like when we talk about having a fit faith, I've been dwelling a lot and being focused a lot on dealing with mental health. It's something that is a really big deal these days, especially in the last 3 years of everything that's going on. There's people that struggle in my profession, and police officers. I mean, they're struggling with mental health, with all the things they see and all the things they have to deal with. And just, you can just sometimes even the thought of, they call you, you got to go to a call, and you don't know what's going to happen. The heart gets racing and pumping, and it may turn out to be absolutely nothing. But then it might be turn out to be absolutely life-changing. You just don't know. That's the nature of law enforcement. That's why it is the career that has the highest number of suicides. Because not taking care of their mental health. It's important. So much and so that God deals with it a lot. We're literally finishing up the first two stanzas of Psalm 119. And there's been so much in these 16 verses that point to how to have a fit mental health, spiritual health. And it's all connected back to the Word of God. What are we meditating on? What are we dwelling on? I want you to go over to the 1 Timothy. This is just a review because we talked about it last year as we came through this. But I want you to look at 1 Timothy chapter 4 real quick. 1 Timothy chapter 4. And we're going to pick it up verse 13 and read down through verse 15. All right. So 1 Timothy chapter 4, 13 through 15. It says this. Paul giving instructions to Timothy. He says, "Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine." That's what he needs to be doing as a pastor, is reading the Word of God, exhorting, preaching the Word of God, and studying doctrine, knowing exactly how the Word of God's laid out. He goes on in verse 14, it says, "Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy," which is the preaching of the Word of God, "with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery." Again, that's not something that's some charismatic mumbo-jumbo kind of thing. And no, it's just an identifying that this is what God has done in your life. And then verse 15, it says this, "Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all." Meditate. Think about this, Timothy. Just don't give it a casual kind of reading and understanding and that sort of thing. No, meditate on it. So much so that you give yourself wholly to these things that you need to be doing. The things that God has gifted you with in the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God, give yourself wholly to those things. Meditate on it. Think about it. How often do we think on things? You see this, and again, it's just like, since we're in a neighborhood, just go back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 23. It talks about give yourself wholly to these things. That's one of the things we've been looking at as far as this year and having a fit faith in every aspect, wholly, in spirit, soul, and body. Just to remind you of that reference in 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 23. It's a prayer request that Paul has for the Thessalonians. It says, "And the very God of peace sanctify you," here's the word, "wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." That's his prayer for them. Blameless in spirit, soul, and body, all the way up until the Lord comes back for us. Tell Timothy to meditate upon these things. Give yourself wholly to them. In spirit, in soul, in body. How often do we meditate on the Word of God? Meditate on the things that God has done in your life. Meditate on the things that you see God doing in your life. Just think about it. We're such a fast food society. We're such a society that we have all these things that draw our attention away. But I have to deal with myself. In the morning time, I get up, I'm spending time in the Word of God, I have notes that I write, and I use my Bible app on my phone, and then all of a sudden, it could be like all of a sudden, breaking news. You know me, I got to know what's going on in the news. Am I going to break away from the Word of God to see what the breaking news is? And it's like, you know, I shouldn't do this on today anyway. Like, breaking news. And it might be, what, Taylor Swift is going to be at the football game today. Okay, that's, who cares? I mean, I'm sure Travis cares, I guess. I don't know. But, I mean, we have all these things that draw our attention away. Meditate. Take time out to think about what God has done, is doing, and will do in your life. Let's go back to Psalm 119, more to cover in verse 15. It says this, "I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways." This is still something else that he will do. He's going to do. He's going to meditate in the Word, and he's going to have respect unto thy ways. Now, we've already seen this word respect in Psalm 119 in dealing with respecting God's commandments. If you look back in verse 6 in the previous stanza, Psalm 119 and verse 6. It says, then, actually let me read from verse 5. Oh, because it's a prayer request. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. In other words, that's his prayer request. It's the first prayer request that we've seen in Psalm 119. And he wants his ways to be directed to keep the word of God. Instead of walking according to the flesh, he wants to walk according to the word. And then he goes on in verse 6 and it says, then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments. Respecting not just some, not the ones that you agree with, not the ones that fit your lifestyle. No, respect for all of the commandments. The things that the Lord has laid out in His Word, that He wants to respect God's Word. That is dealing with having reverence. You understand that you're going to be held accountable at God's Word. You respect it. You show reverence to it. In fact, Samuel, that didn't let any of the words of God fall to the ground. 1 Samuel chapter 3. So we see a respect for God's Word, and then now we have here in verse 16, I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. Don't miss the connection here. Respect the Word of God, respect the ways of God. His Word shows us the way that we are supposed to be walking. And so if we're actually going to respect God's Word and respect His ways, that means we want our way, that we want to make sure that we're walking according to the truth of the Word of God. It reminds me of Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. He will. It's a promise. But it goes back to, are we going to respect the Word? Are we respecting His ways? Are we going to meditate in His Word? So again, verse 15 says, I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. Verse 16, I will delight myself in thy statutes. He's delighting. He has a love for the Word of God. And we will see that big time as we continue through Psalm 119. But he's delighting in the statutes. Delighting. I will delight. I want you to go back to Psalm 2. We saw this from the very beginning of this year. And starting the study in Psalm 119. And talking about, you know, who's going to be blessed. You know, favored, you know, and it's connected with, you know, obviously the Word of God. I want you to notice Psalm 1, again, in just verse 2. Verse 1 lays out how we're, you know, not supposed to walk and the ways that we're not supposed to go in and not sitting in the seat of the scornful and so forth. But opposite of that is verse 2, and it says, but His delight is in the law of the Lord. And in His law, doth he meditate day and night. We're back to that word meditation again. And anyway, if you delight in something, you think about it. You love something, you're going to spend time, you know, it occupies your mind. Right? And that's what it should be in our relationship with the Lord and the Word of God. Now here's the thing. As you go back to Psalm 119 and verse 16, I will delight myself in thy statutes. I mean, again, we see where David has a delight. He has a love for the Word of God. I dare say there's a number of Christians that they say they love the Lord, but they almost have some sort of bad relationship with the Word of God. I mean, you can't have a great relationship with the Lord without His Word. That's how we have a relationship with God. That's how we know what's on His mind. That's how we know how what He wants us to do. The judgments and everything that we talked about we're going to declare, we don't know or have those things if we don't spend time in the Word of God, and which should be a delight to be in the Word of God. You should want to spend time in the Word. And if you don't have that delight, then, man, we got to check your heart. You got to check where you're at. You got to really check where your relationship with the Lord is. If you don't have a delight, if you don't want to spend time in the Word of God, something is not right. And I'm going to say it's not going to be on God's end. He wants to spend time with you. says, I will delight myself in thy statutes. I want you to notice something that Paul even uses this word. I want you to go to Romans chapter 7 real quick. Romans chapter 7, and we're just going to look down in verse 22. Romans chapter 7 is that great chapter where Paul talks about the struggle of really, basically, walking in the spirit or walking in the flesh. We have this flesh, we walk around in this body, and it's sinful, you know, and it's that struggle of even when you want to do something right, you end up doing something wrong because of this flesh and so forth, and it's that struggle. And the only way you're going to win that is by actually taking time to be in the Word of God and actually applying it to your life. But I just want you to know the simple verse that he has here. Romans chapter 7 and verse 22. Paul says this, "For I delight in the law of God after the inward man." That inward man is, again, your life that you have in Christ. It's the new man, created in righteousness and holiness, as laid out in the Word of God. It's that relationship that you have with the Lord, and it should be. We should delight. And again, if we don't have a delight in being in the Word of God, something's wrong. It doesn't mean that you're going to understand everything there is in the Word of God or something like that. That doesn't mean that at all. But there should be a delight. There should be a desire to want to spend time in the Word of God. Now, quite frankly, as we go back to Psalm 119, it has nothing to do with trying to pat myself on the back or anything like that. When I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, God gave me a desire to be in His Word and a desire to be used of Him. That's been with me for over 35 years. When I accepted Christ as my Savior, it's just like I just had to spend time in the Word of God. I can't imagine going a day without being in the Word of God. I'm not saying that to come down on you. There's been times that you haven't been in the Word of God. I'm not doing that at all. I'm just saying that I've had this desire to be in the Word of God, but to be used of God as well. Because I know how important, I know how incredible the Word of God is, and the absolute eternal life-changing ability that the Word of God has that it can do in anybody's life. It doesn't matter whether, if somebody wants to actually trust God to have a relationship with Him and to be in the Word of God, it will change your life for all of eternity. It can turn everything around for you. We should have a delight, a desire to be in the Word. You go back to Psalm 119, you need to finish up here in verse 16. I will delight myself in thy statutes. This is something that David is dedicated and determined to do. I will delight myself. He's not, I guess, in a sense, depending on God to do that for him, to zap him with just all the love in the world for the love of God. No, he says, I will delight myself in thy statutes. And another thing he's determined to do, I will not forget thy word. This is a vow, really, that David is making. He said, Lord, this is something I'm vowing myself that I will do. I will meditate in thy precepts. I will have respect unto all thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. Is that something that you are bold enough to say today? We don't even have any idea what's going to happen later today. Are you still going to meditate in the Word? Respect the ways of God? Delight yourself in His Word? Not forget it? No matter what happens? No matter what happens. We're going to deal with this, really, for this, everything we've been talking about today. I'm going to declare your word no matter what happens. I'm going to rejoice in the way of thy testimony no matter what happens. It's easy to talk about things that, oh, I'm going to serve God and do these things when everything is going well, but how about when it's not going well? Are we still going to be dedicated to do these things? That's why I titled this message this way. Are you dedicated? Easy to serve God when everything is going well. But when it's all falling apart, still going to do these things? He says, I will not forget thy word. Interesting enough, if you were to look ahead to the very last verse of Psalm 119, it's almost the exact same thing that he says. I'm not going to take the time to deal with it now, because we will deal with it then, Lord willing, and we'll talk about it. But what I do want you to remember is what we saw in verse 11 of the same stanza. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Talking about hiding the word of God, committing it to memory for the purpose of hopefully you won't sin against him. You still got to take the actions of actually, you know, following the word of God and not following your flesh. But it's a big help to have the word of God in your heart so you know what to do and what not to do. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. And then the last verse here and the last phrase, I will not forget thy word. Not going to forget it. Got to hold on to it. Got to be dedicated to it. And that is so important when it looks like things are falling apart. It's interesting that the stanza ends this way. Last week we talked about restoration and preservation. That was our 2 points from verse 9 and 10 and 11 and 12. Wherewithal shall young men cleanse this way? So the way has to be cleaned up because that means got himself a little bit dirty. You need to be cleansed by the water of the Word of God. Talked about preservation. That was verse 11 and 12. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. Again, I'm looking at how we preserve having a good walk. And he ends it with what he is determined to do. Being a biblical Christian, doing things according to the Word of God is not necessarily going to be easy all the time. There's so many Christians, unfortunately, they do forget. They don't meditate. They forget to rejoice in the things that God has done in their life. They don't keep their heart or their house clean. They just let it go by the wayside. And they end up, there's no difference when you look at them between somebody who's in the world and them. Why? Because they don't dedicate themselves to doing what we've seen just in these 8 verses of this stanza. What about you? What about me? Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for your word. I thank you for today. I thank you for the things that you've shown us. I don't think it was anything too hard to understand, too complicated. At least I hope not. I hope that the preaching and teaching of the word today is obviously biblically, doctrinally accurate and the right application for us even today. Easy to be understood so that we can put it into practice. Father, help us to declare the things that you show us in your word. If we're asking you to teach us the word, then we got to be ready to live it first and foremost and then be ready to declare it to others around us. Not to sugarcoat it, not to leave things out because we're afraid somebody's going to be offended. May not be our friend anymore. No. Declare all of your judgments. Lord, that we rejoice in the things that you have done in our life, the way of your testimonies. And Lord, how you brought us out of times of darkness and to be able to bring you glory and to be able to, even through it all, to be able to reach others. The things that you've done in our lives, Lord, to be able to help us, to be able to serve you, to be able to minister to others. Lord, let us rejoice in those things. Father, please help us to be determined to meditate in your word. There's so much more that you can teach us even from the four verses that we've seen this morning. But it's going to require us to actually meditate on it, to think on it, to determine that we will do this and not just let it be one message that goes in one ear and out the other, or, oh, that's good, that's some things to think about, but then we don't. What about the delight, Lord? We need to be determined that we delight ourselves in your word, that we do this. Lord, I pray, give us a desire to delight in your word, to apply it to our lives, to hide it in our heart, and please, Lord, help us not to forget your word. No matter the circumstance, no matter the situations that will happen this week, help us to remember what your word says and to do accordance. I ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.